If the government expands high-speed internet, who pays?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Today, the Federal Communications Commission will present to Congress a blueprint for upgrading America's internet capabilities. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer says not everyone's excited.
Broadband speeds under the FCC plan would be at least 20 times faster than most home broadband connections now. You could download high-definition movies in minutes. If you were sick, your doctor could monitor you from home. And who would pay for all this?
We believe that on balance, the plan will more than pay for itself.
That's Bruce Gottlieb. He's the chief counsel to the FCC chairman. He says the FCC would partly fund its plan by taking some of the broadcast spectrum from TV stations and auctioning it off to internet providers. But broadcasters are scrambling to protect their turf.
Well, we're going to work with Congress to create a communication system that, here we go, got the calls coming in.
That's Dennis Wharton, the spokesman for the National Association of Broadcasters. His phone is ringing constantly with calls from frantic broadcasters. What he was trying to tell me is they're going to lobby against the FCC plan. The FCC says TV stations would be asked to give up their airwaves voluntarily and could keep some of the money after they were sold. But Wharton says the auctions wouldn't really be voluntary.
They're making it voluntary in the Godfather sense of the word. If you don't do what we're saying, we're going to force it upon you.
The FCC says it's leaving its options open, but it won't say much more than that. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
A labor dispute in the UK could affect the States later this week. British Airways is preparing for a major strike by flight attendants. And today we learned several critical, financially important flights between the U.S. and U.K. could be canceled. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
6,000 flight attendants are expected to walk off the job in protest over pay and staffing levels. The first three-day phase of the strike starts this Saturday. BA is one of the largest transatlantic carriers, and this could have a big impact on lucrative routes to New York. Half of all flights to JFK are likely to be scrapped. The union involved is under tremendous pressure to call off the action, even from their closest political ally, the UK Prime Minister. Speaking in a radio interview, Gordon Brown condemned the walkout.
It's unjustified, it's deplorable. We should not have a strike. It's not in the company's interest, it's not in the workers' interests, and it's certainly not in the national interest.
And it's not in his interests. With an election looming, Brown does not want to be associated with travel chaos and cancelled holidays. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Now, here are the numbers. European stocks are almost 1% higher this morning. Earlier in the day, Asian markets were mixed, and yesterday the Dow added 17 points. The close was 10,642. That's the highest close for the Dow since mid-January.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com. By the new Harvard Business Review, a source of smart thinking for today's business world, the revival of smart begins at HBR.org. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com.
If you've ever seen images from the New York Stock Exchange or the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, then you have seen those colorful jackets the traders wear while they're screaming out the buy and sell orders. For more than 35 years, a single company in Chicago has made most of those jackets. But with electronic trading gradually replacing the trading floor, the company has had to diversify. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
For the traders who work on the floor of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, the trading jacket is almost like a second skin.
My black and green jacket that I've been wearing for like probably 14 years. Same one with holes in it. Gets washed, though. Don't worry about that.
That's floor trader Billy Pollivan. His black and green number is fairly standard. More outrageous get-ups include jungle print or flames, custom pockets, and pretty much all of them are made by a company called Pico on the southwest side of Chicago. But with the number of traders and clerks dwindling on trading floors around the world, Pico has had to branch out. In a brightly lit warehouse, a woman sews together two pieces of white cotton. They'll eventually form the front panel, not of a trading jacket, but a chef's coat. Pico owner Peter Papageorge says he saw the switch to computerized trading coming back in the early 1990s, so he laid the groundwork for a new business.
The whole notion was, let's do the same thing that we can do for the traders, for the culinary industry. Chef wants a purple chef coat with green cuffs and red buttons or whatever it is. We can actually make one like that, or we can make 1,000 like that.
Today, Papageorge says culinary uniforms make up 75% of the business. But traders still need something distinctive to wear on the floor. Hanging on a rack in the warehouse is part of an order for 60 new jackets.
We haven't heard from them in like 2 years. So we thought they had pretty much folded, but they must have bounced back, so...
Shirley Redmond manages the jacket division. She says in the past 8 months or so, as the markets have improved, so have orders. Peter Papageorge knows electronic trading will keep chipping away at the business his father started more than 35 years ago. But he says pundits have been predicting the demise of the trading floor for decades.
But I hope it sticks around. I hope it lasts. I really do, because that's our business, and that's a good business for us.
He's not taking any chances. The company's recently taken on a new sideline, making figure skating outfits. In Chicago, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And finally, the Wall Street Journal reports Microsoft's Seattle area campus is crawling with employees covertly using Apple's iPhones, sometimes disguising them with generic cases. Remember, Microsoft makes its own mobile operating system, Windows Phone. Apparently, at a company meeting, CEO Steve Ballmer snatched an iPhone out of an employee's hands and pretended to stomp on it. A Microsoft executive acknowledged that, sure, his employees use rival products. It's so they can better understand the competition. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.